DMT World presents The Rambling Rabbit, and I am its host, Happy KB. Well, welcome to The Rambling Rabbit. This is episode 20. Can you guys believe that? 20 episodes? I've already gone down 20 episodes? That's so amazing. So I was sitting here and I was thinking about how long it's been since I've actually done a solo Rambling Rabbit, and it's been quite some time, actually, because I was going back and I was looking through the interviews that I have done, and there is quite a bit between then and now, and so we're going to talk about that here, coming up here in this episode. We're going to talk about a lot of things that's been going on. A lot's happened in 20 episodes in my world and on DMT World, and just so much is moving forward. So, with that being said, if this is your first time tuning into The Rambling Rabbit, again, I am Happy KB, the host. If you've never been to DMT World, if you've never been to the actual website, I'm not talking Discord, I'm not talking our Facebook and stuff like that. The actual social network site. If you've never been there, first time you're listening to this, you need to type into your browser www.dmtworld.net. Or you can go to your app store. We have an app, and you can either get it from your Apple app store, whatever that is you use. I'm not an Apple person, so I'm not exactly sure. Or you can, Android, in whatever Android app store you use. We do have them both in there, so you can use the app if you don't want to use the actual web browser. You can use your mobile desktop, which if you go to your mobile browser on your phone or your iPad, any device like that, and go and type in the actual website, it will pull it up, and it will pull it up in a mobile desk format. So it kind of looks very much like the app does. You can actually see a little bit more that way when you're looking at things, but I use them all. I use the desktop, I use the mobile desktop, I use the app, I like the way it all functions, so it's fun. So check us out. Again, the website is www.dmtworld.net, or go into your app store and just, people say that they just type in DMT and usually the app pops up. So we look for you to join us. So like I said, it's been a minute since I did a Rambling Rabbit solo episode. It is a bit intimidating because what I have found is I really enjoy the interviews. I get a kick out of... So I've sat behind this computer for a while now. In April, it will have been 5 years that we have been up and running and been live. April, will be 5 years. Just keep that in your mental note. So for that whole time, I've just been on the other side of the computer with you guys, not really communicating verbally with anybody. And, after a while, when you're spending so much quality time with a community like ours, getting to know people over our digital devices, texting, Discord, inboxes, all that good stuff. Some of us do call each other and talk to each other. I'm kind of phone shy, not real big on talking on the phone. You can ask anybody that has tried to have any sort of relationship or friendship with me and tries to call me. I don't know. It's not my favorite thing to do. And so I didn't really talk to a lot of people. And so you form these, it's so crazy, you form these voices in your head, you develop the character of whoever it is you're interacting with. And so going into these interviews, the nervous part of it is, what if I'm not anything like they picture me to be? Which at this point in time, everybody's heard me now and can actually that's a little bit different. Since you guys can hear my voice, you can develop your picture that way. So that's the thing I really enjoy with doing these interviews, is talking to everybody, because when I put the voice to the picture in my head, and it's like, I don't know, it makes me feel closer to people. It makes me feel closer to these people that I've spent so much time with in this community, on the computer, doing, you know, whatever it is I do. This has just made me feel like our community, I've gotten to be closer to our community. And so I want to say thank you for everybody who has accepted the invite to be on the Rambling Rabbit. It's it's so fun. It's so fun to get to know everybody. So if there is anybody out there that is in the DMT World community and is in dire straits and would like to be a guest on the Rambling Rabbit, I am not opposed to somebody reaching out to me and asking if they could be on the be on an episode. That's always great. Sometimes it takes me a minute to like figure out who I want to ask. And, you know, I go through that whole mental thing with, oh my gosh, what if they're like, oh no, I can't do that, I don't want to be part of that, blah, blah, blah. I'm my own worst enemy, trust me. So like I said, if there's anybody out there listening to that is in the community, that is one of the things that has to be. You have to be in the community. You have to have an account with us in DMT World. It does not take very long to set up an account. We don't take all your vital information. All we need is an email, and then you have, you know, a profile picture and a screen name. The rest, you don't even have to tell us anything past that. We do not data collect. We do not take your information. And I mean, how are we going to only take an email and your profile name? So yes, sign up with us. If it's something you're like, I want to be on that podcast, so sign up and come find me and be a part of our community, and we can do that. If you are in the community and you've been in the community and you really would like to be on the Rambling Rabbit, you too may get a hold of me. You can get a hold of me on Discord, or I'm Happy KB on Discord. You can email me at kb@dmtworld.net. You can message me on the actual site as well. So we love that. So back to how many episodes is between the last time I did a Rambling Rabbit and now? Well, let's see. It's been Shaboy, Luffy Sun, Luke Skywalker, Chernobyl, Myko, Potassium, VT Myko, Eddie V, Kratosis, and Missy Unicorn, and T-Rex Sephora. So, yeah, it's, yeah. It's been nine episodes. So it's a little intimidating to sit here and be talking, because on these interviews, what I have found is I enjoy really much is the fact there's somebody to bounce conversation off of. And so, you know, those quiet moments or those stalled moments where I'm like, and then I come back because I was remembering what I was saying, you know, they're less because the other person fills it in. Or, you know, I'm bouncing stuff off of, like, my right now I'm just bouncing it off my microphone and hoping that whoever's listening to this isn't shutting their stuff off right now. But, you know, that's what's cool. So, yeah, 9 episodes. I'm pretty proud of myself to know that I have 20 episodes out there of the Rambling Rabbit. It's kind of a disbelief that everybody actually wants to listen to these. So thank you. That makes me feel really good. It's very encouraging to keep wanting to put these out, to keep wanting to talk to people. I really enjoy everybody. I enjoy the community, and I really enjoy sitting here talking into this microphone and just rambling on about what, you know, whatever comes out. So thank you very much. Thanks for listening. I am going to ask a favor. Anybody that is listening to any of the podcast area, be it Rumble, be it YouTube, be it on the Spotify, be it on Apple Podcasts, be it on any of the ways that you listen to this podcast, can you please like and share? That helps us out greatly, especially on some of the the YouTubes and the Rumbles and things like that, because that puts me up there even more. I mean, some accounts I have taken on, I've taken over, because, you know, in the past we've had some different people who have stepped up and helped us do some stuff and, you know, help us run some of the things and take care of things. And so I am the one now that gets to take care of those things. So I'm trying to rebuild. I'm trying to not rebuild, because it was quite there. I'm trying to keep building those accounts up so we have more exposure, because we like to be out there in the whole midst of the community, the psychedelic community. We have established ourselves. We've been here 5 years come April. And, you know, I want to make sure everybody gets to find us, see who we are, and gets to listen to us, gets to be a part of what we're doing. So that's really cool. Thank you. Thank you for listening and being a supporter of this podcast. I really, really appreciate it. So if you don't know, we do have a merchandise store. Merchandise store. We have some new items in there. I keep trying to put some new things in there. That way people, when they're going in and they're seeing if they're like, they're not, it's not the same stuff over and over again. We do have some new designs in the merch store. Over Christmas, we had some really cute Christmas holiday things in the store. That we had Dr. Salomon's Lab designs. That was a Christmas design that was designed by Donnie Roscoe, who's also on the staff of DMT World, and is also one that helps with the Dr. Salomon's Lab. We do still have some of the Dr. Salomon's Lab of the regular design, the first design that was drawn, in the merch store. So if you want to get that, there's a tumbler that has it on there, shirts, and things like that. We also have a new design in the merch store. And the design is by, I know you all may, those of you who remember, Alex 8721. There is a couple designs in the merch store that he has allowed, given permission for me to put that on some merchandise for people who would like to have some merch that has Alex's vibe on it. So if you want to find that merch store, you can go to www.dmtworld creator on .spring. Or you can go to the website, our website, and go to the merch store, and it's on there. And then there's also some ads that are on the DMT World site that you can click on that takes you to the merchandise store. So it's on the Teespring under DMT World. If you just put those two combinations in there, it will actually pull it up too. So www.dmtworld-2.creator.spring.com. That is that whole website. Okay, so now that we've plugged the merch store, we've talked about our past things. it's interesting. I've got a lot of things working in the works. We do are almost, I know I may have, I don't know if I've said this before or not, but we have the video almost completed of when the first episode of KB's Caravan. It's really fun. It's really long. It took a long time to put it together because we didn't realize how much footage that we actually got. And my computer is a little archaic, and so trying to run such a large program to do some video editing, it's taken longer than we anticipated. But like my camera and editor person told me, that there is no time limit to this. Nobody knew it was going to be, you know, when it was going to be anyway. So when we get it completed and done, we will launch it and let it get it out there, that first episode of KB's Caravan. So with that being said, that KB's Caravan is a video of the Ann Arbor, Michigan trip. We went to the Ethnofest. So that will be the first KB's Caravan episode. We will be heading out again to Ann Arbor, Michigan. Once again, we really love this place. The laws there are just very laxed and very different from Kansas. So it's nice to go somewhere where I can openly smoke, and, you know, psychedelics are a thing there too. So it's pretty, Ann Arbor is just kind of this storybook, picture book, place. It's nice. I don't know. It just got this vibe, and it's fun to go there because then we get to see people. There's a lot of people we know that live over in that area, and it's just, it's very interesting. So we like to take that trip. We just jump the train and go. This time we're going to go the first weekend in April, and we're going to be attending the Hash Bash. So there we are going to do the second KB's Caravan. Episode number 2 is going heading back to Ann Arbor. This time, instead of the Ethnofest, it will be for the Hash Bash. So that will be fun. I do still have a GoFundMe. That GoFundMe, if you wanted to support KB's Caravan, help us get travel expenses. It helps with new equipment when we're needing it. It helps with new computers, hopefully, in the future. I'm just trying to, you know, travel expenses is the biggest thing that it has covered. That's what covered last time, and I really appreciate those that dug deep in their pockets and helped me out and donated to my GoFundMe, so I appreciate it. If you are wanting to donate to that GoFundMe, you can go to the site. I'll go ahead and put the link back up for the KB's Caravan if people are wanting to help out with this trip again for me. So don't feel obligated. It is not a necessity, but if, like I said, if you'd like to help out, I'll make sure that you have that link to do that with. So with that being said, we have got some new stuff going on. I said that when we first pulled this up, got on here and started talking. There are some new things going on. One of the new things that will be happening is we will be starting the first Friday of every month at 8:00 Central Standard Time. We are going to start what are called the roundtable talks. The roundtable talks will take place in the Psychonaut Only voice channel in our Discord server. So if you are a Psychonaut tier donor, either on the site or on Discord, you will have access to this channel to participate in these roundtable talks. Basically, what they're going to do is we're going to at the end of every meeting, so like our first meeting will have been February 2nd. By the time I get this out, it will already have passed, more than likely, unless I get my ass in gear and get it done. But it will have happened February 2nd. And that one just basically is an introduction of what it is, what will be expected, dates and times, and some basic ideas what people would like to do during those times. So it will be every Friday. At the end of the gathering, we will put out the topic for the next meeting. That way people they'll have some time to like research or to look at stuff or just think about how they actually feel about a topic or whatever we're going to talk about. That way they're ready and they feel prepared, because we don't want anybody to come to these and feel like they're put on the spot or they're embarrassed. Or And if you do come, you do not have to talk. You can sit and just listen. It's not that big a deal, but we would like to have some good conversation. The topics, of course, will be geared towards psychedelics, with understanding that we may have some other topics that do come up, which is perfectly fine. But it's not going to be a place of, you know, fights, yelling. It'll be, you know, maybe some debating. But some discussion, would like to hear how people think about things, where we're headed with some of our psychedelic stuff coming up in the near future and those types of things. But again, like I said, you do have to be a Psychonaut donor on the site, or you can be one on just Discord if you would like to. You can go to the patreon.com/DMT World, and it will take you to the area where you can sign up as a Psychonaut status. There is a tier in there for $5 for merchant, and that's just for merchant. That's to just be able to sell in our marketplace. There is a donation place that says $5 Discord Psychonaut Only. That would be if you are just wanting to pay for the stuff in the Discord. And then there is the $8 Psychonaut tier. That tier actually covers our website. that gives you access to be able to be a merchant in our marketplace. It also allows you to be able to open groups of your own. And then that also gives you access to the Psychonaut channels in the Discord. It also allows, if you get that $8 tier, we will send you some of our swag. We have a necklace pendant that we send out with some stickers. So that is something that you also get if you do donate to that $8 Psychonaut tier. It also enables you to put in the secret Psychonaut giveaways that we do have as well. So, like I said, if you want to donate to help out with DMT World or be a part of the roundtable talks, or just want to sell something on our marketplace, you can go to patreon.com/DMT World. It's real important for everybody to understand that anything that gets donated to DMT World, be it our merchandise, or that anything that goes through our merchandise and everything that comes through the donations goes straight to helping with DMT World. It helps with keeping the lights on, helps with maintenance, it helps us so we can upgrade, it helps us just keep things going on a daily basis. I don't know if everybody knows this, but the staff that actually is involved with DMT World is volunteer basis. And so they work their tails off to make sure that this place is safe. And with that being said, it helped. Every little bit does help to help keep us getting more upgrades and keeping everything going for the Discord, for the website. So we really appreciate everybody that does donate. We really appreciate everybody that is actually a part of the community. Whether you donate or not, you are a vital, important part of the community, in my opinion, because without you, without your vibe, what the DMT World would be nothing. So it takes more than just one person to keep DMT World going. It legitimately is made up by the vibes that everybody has brought into the community. And I hope that keeps building, and I hope more people find us, and I hope that we can just spread everything that we're doing now on to all those other people that hopefully one day find us. So I think that's really cool. But yeah, so if you'd like to be a Psychonaut donor, you can go to patreon.com/DMT World. So I really sat and I had to go back to my last solo. And I realized I was in the middle of a story. And I decided that I'm not going to continue that story just yet. I'm probably going to wait. I know, everybody's upset. And they were like, no, we really wanted to hear that. We will hold off. I will do that story again or continue that story from where we're at. And so you'll have to go back and listen to that episode and then have to fast forward to the next one. So with that being said, I decided my rabbit tails this time of the podcast. I think I'm going to talk about Omega Fest. So Omega Fest is not as exciting as Woodstock 99. Nothing will ever be as exciting as Woodstock 99. But I remember Omega Fest way more and way better than I do Woodstock 99. Woodstock 99 was just kind of like a fever dream. I will tell you, we'll talk a little bit about Woodstock 99 because it really is one of my favorite subjects. It's crazy. I'm in this Facebook group and on Facebook that is Woodstock 99, and it's so wild. So, you know, for the longest time, I just didn't, it was really hard to tell if it actually happened, you know? I did a lot of drugs there. It was really hot. I was lost for a long time. The experience was, some may say it was traumatic. maybe there's a little Nah, it was not there's no post-traumatic stress syndrome. That's stupid. I had the best time of my freaking life. And, I'm so sorry. I did. I had the best time of my life. And whatever I remember, I remember. And what I don't remember, it doesn't matter. But it was. For a long time, it was just... The only person I could talk to was my friend, Bill. And because he was there. And, you know, all I knew is what he told me. And when that... I used to search the internet every day. Oh, so you got to remember, like, Woodstock 99. Okay, guys? Woodstock 1999. Okay. So, this is before the internet as we know it. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have any of that stuff. So, when the internet started gaining popularity and all these social networks and all this stuff started happening, and I used to get on and I used to do searches all the time. I used to search it all the time because there were people that I knew there were pictures. I knew people had taken pictures. There was all kinds of stuff. So I just wanted to, I wanted to make sure that it was real. And you know, for a long time, you just couldn't find any pictures, and you could find like tidbits, but that was it. You know, the internet was not like it is now. And so over the years, like just searching more, finding more, I finally found the website that somebody had put together. And then finally when this Woodstock 99 group happened, it was like, I mean, it was that moment of like, I used to sit and look at the wall that I have from Woodstock 99 that was part of the fence. Oops, was part of the fence. And I used to sit there and did this really happen? You know, you just kind of question it. And then, like I said, when the documentaries came out, and it was like, yes, but that's not how I remember it. But yes, okay, it's real, but that's not how I remember it. Because all they focused on was that negative part of it. And like, I wasn't in that realm. I was tripped out beyond my belief and probably was in some other dimension somewhere else doing something way cooler. But just watching that and then getting into this group, it was just... Finally, like, it's that feeling of, oh, it did happen. There are other people who had the experiences, maybe not exactly like I did, but they had similar experiences. The biggest and most profound, like, validation is looking at their pictures, because their pictures pretty much look like my pictures. Like, the quality of the pictures, the tents, like, where we were at, like, that whole thing. Now, granted, there are things that I've seen in that group that I'm like, I didn't know that. Like, I didn't know they had a map of Woodstock 99. What? They did? Where was I? How come I didn't get that? Stuff like that. So, it's just crazy. So, yeah, Woodstock 99, just, I love it. I love the whole experience. I'm glad I get to talk about it. I'm glad I've told you guys about it. I'm glad that I get to be, you know, just every day there's more and more and more and more stuff. So, it's just, it was good. So, when we came back from Woodstock, We lived in Chicago. And so when we came back from Woodstock, like the integration process, I remember that. It was wild. I've been to several different festivals and like burns and things like that. And, you know, you go and you get all in your way. And you really get out there, and then you got to come back to reality. And, you know, normally it's like, okay, Woodstock 99, that was a week. It took a week, if not a little bit longer, for me to really be able to reintegrate back into everything we were doing. I remember just telling people stories and what I can remember, because... I didn't remember a lot. Like I said, all I could remember was what my roommate was telling me, but I would tell it over and over and over again. And so after Woodstock 99, we moved back to Topeka. So Woodstock 99 was in the summer of 1999. I'm just getting all confused. I'm also sitting there hitting off my pen. So... if I start coughing real hard, you guys will know why. So, we moved back to Kansas. And gosh, we were working at a bar, just moved back. I moved back in with my mom and dad. My roommate moved back in with his folks. You know, we just had to plant somewhere. We got on with these. I was hungry to go to a festival. I was hungry to go somewhere and do something. And I don't know if you guys have been to Kansas, but Kansas is, you know, they get some stuff, but they don't get a lot of stuff. And so over by where we live, there used to be this place where they, you know, over by Lawrence, Kansas, the place was Clinton Lake, and they had this Omega Fest. And we caught wind of it because we were hanging out with some people that, you know, they were going to go. They went all the time. A bunch of hippies. And so we all decided we were going to go to this Omega Fest. And it was so cool. I remember packing everything up. We'd get there. And it was wide open. In my brain, you've got to remember, I'm thinking, Woodstock. And so we're driving up, and like we're in this parking place, and there isn't a lot of cars there yet. And of course, it's still early, and so whatever. We get our place, we go, and we go and camp out where we're gonna be at. There was a stage set up, which was really cool, kind of remnants of Woodstock, but it was not near as big as Woodstock was, but it was cool. So there we knew where the stage was. We were camped over in a little pocket area where we could, like, you know, have some fireplace going, having fire going, and our tents were set up in a circle, and it was great. And so we sit there that night. We didn't do anything. We went to sleep because we'd gotten in pretty late, got everything set up, fell asleep. Got up the next morning, and I'm sitting out by my tent, and I had had a dream that night before of this girl that came. She had blonde flowing hair, and she had ribbons on her fingers, and she had them around her legs, and they were colors, and she was sitting there swinging them. And I remember sitting outside of the tent, and I was telling my roommate and stuff about this, because we were just sitting there checking out what was happening, because people were starting to bring their stuff in and getting ready. And all of a sudden, next thing I see, there's this blonde-headed chick that's walking over to me that has these flow ribbons. And she's sitting there, and she has them tied to sticks, and she's twirling them. And I was like, what in the world? And she comes over, and she's like, is anybody on this camping over on this side? I'm like, no. She's like, do you mind if I pull my trailer up? And I'm like, go ahead. So she pulls up her camper, and she's trying to get her stuff. Well, her camper breaks down, and she's all hot to trot. She had to call her husband to come and get it. And so later on, he comes and gets it and tows it off. And goes, all she has is her rug. And she asks if she can sleep right over there between our two tents on that rug. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, do you want to go for a walk? And I'm like, sure. I still haven't asked who this chick is. I don't know who this girl is at all. I just know she's got this blonde flowing hair, and she's got these ribbons that she was twirling around when she walked in. I'm like, I think I need to hang out with this chick. So we're walking around, and the next thing I know, she's like, do you want some acid? And I'm like, what? Yeah. And so she's like, okay. So we go and we find these guys. We buy a vial of acid, take this vial of acid back to our tent. We sit there, and our friend and I start doing drops of acid. I don't know how much we drank that night. We drank a lot. I know we drank a lot, but we started out with like two drops. And we gave the acid to my roommate, and we told him, hang on to this. Just hang on. Guard it with your life. Now, mind you, he's taken three drops out of this already. So guard this with your life. He's like, all right. So, well, the next thing you know, we'd be outside, and we go walking around, and we go to the drum circles, and we're dancing in the fire, and we're sitting there, and we're enchanting all kinds of things in the atmosphere with the smoke and the flames, and it's beautiful, and the drums. And then I remember we running off, and we go back to the tent. And I remember somebody stopped us and they asked us, do you happen to have any acid? And I looked at my friend and she looks at me, because she's my friend now. This is the chick. Oh, by the way, at this point in time, I had already named her the Rainbow Lady. So this is my friend, the Rainbow Lady. We look at each other and we're like, come with us. So we run up to the tent. They got to hang back because, you know, we don't really know them. We don't know if they're really cool yet or not. But so they hanging back. I run in the tent. I ask my roommate. I'm like, dude, can we help these people? And he's like, yeah, we can help them out. And so I'm like, he's like, send them in. And I'm like, all right. So we go out. We send them in. They go in. They go out. They're gone. Blah. He then became the godfather of the tent. And so anytime anybody would show up, we send them in, we'd send them out, and they'd be good, and they'd be good. And the next thing I know, he's walking out. He's got a new tie-dye on. Where'd you get that? Oh, you know, you send them in, they send them out, and they... Next thing I know, he's got a new pipe. I'm like, well, where'd you get that at? He's like, you know, you send them in, I send them out, and we're good to go. So all night, the godfather is sitting in our tent, you know, sending them in, sending them out, and he's just getting more stuff. It was just so wild. And that vial of acid seemed to last forever because we dosed, I think, the whole campsite out and then had some still left over, and it was so good. It was super good. But yeah, my roommate was the godfather that night. Sending them in and sending them out, and everyone was taken care of. They'd walk in with their faces, and they'd walk out all happy right after that. It was great. And then I remember, so we're walking around and we're in Tripville, and we run into this guy, and all I could remember, he was really tall. So I called him Mass. I called him Mass the whole time because he was really, really tall. Really tall blonde kid. Really cute smile. Wore this weird hat. We called him Mass. He'd come over and he'd gotten to know us, like talking and stoking the flame. And he was a really cool cat. He was a young guy. And next thing I know, he's like, can I bring my tent over to over here? I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem, whatever. He's like, I'll be right back. I'm clear on the other side. About 15 minutes passed, and all of a sudden you can hear this ruckus. And it's just like rumbling and people and just... And I can hear a voice going, move it, get out of the way, move it or lose it, move it or lose it. And I look up, and instead of breaking down their whole entire tent, they had just picked the posts up for one guy on each side, because it was kind of like the box tent, and they walked it clear across the camp area and then sat it down and staked it up, and it was good to go. So they called that the ghetto tent. So the ghetto tent walked clear across the area and was right there. By this time, so we have our tent. We have my friend who has her carpet that she's on. I got my other friend who's on the other side. We've got the ghetto tent. Next thing I know, I look up and there's two guys standing there. And they're like, can we camp here? I'm like, sure. I don't know who these people are. And one guy has a backpack on. And so they set up this little teepee tent. It wasn't big, but it was like enough to, and they set that up. And this guy wouldn't take off this backpack. And I was super suspicious. I just wanted to know, what do you got in that backpack? And they set up their things, and he never took that backpack off. He took everything else off, got changed, but he never took that backpack off his back. And I was just like, okay. So we get to going. We decide we're going to go walk around. So we're walking around. The bands, there's some bands playing. We're having a good time. Schwag. I don't know if anybody knows who Schwag is, but Schwag played out there at that Omega Fest. It was the first time I ever saw them. They are fantastic. They're a Grateful Dead cover band. They're super cool. They used to have a festival themselves called Schwagstock. And then there were some complications with the law, and that all kind of went to shit. But the band itself still does tour around, especially around this parts, and they're super cool. But anyways, Schwag was playing, and Schwag, yeah, they were awesome. But anyways, so we come back to the tent, and these guys, you know, the guy with the backpack, they're like wandering around, and he's sitting there talking to one of my friends. And my friend walks up to me, and he's like, hey, KB, I want to introduce you to this guy, to my friend. I'm like, oh, he's your friend. And he's like, yeah, he's my friend. You want to get to know this guy. And I'm like, oh, okay, he's your friend? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'm still eyeing the backpack. And the guy looks at me and he goes, is my backpack bothering you? And I said, I just really would like to know what's in your backpack because, well, you haven't taken your backpack off since you got here. He goes, well, I was going to wait for later to do this, but since you've asked, he's like, you want to come with me? I said, sure. And he's like, my tent's kind of small. And I'm like, okay. And my roommate was in our tent doing, you know, the Godfather thing, going in, coming out. And so we look over and there's the ghetto tent. And I'm like, there's nobody in there. Let's go in there. We walk into this big, huge green square tent that has a peak on it. And there's nothing in here. I think there was a shirt. These guys moved this tent completely over. They didn't have anything. Nothing. No sleeping bag, no chair, no blanket, no pillow, no nothing, no bags, like just the tent. I still to this day don't know why they brought the tent, why they just didn't come out and just like crash, but I don't know. Maybe they had other intentions. So we're standing in the middle of this tent and this guy, he reaches around and he takes his backpack off and I'm like, oh, yes. So he takes the backpack off and he like, flings around and it opens it up and all of a sudden I can hear this clink, 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 clink. And I can tell he's screwing something on, he's taking a cap off, and he's doing some stuff, and he's digging around. And then the next thing I know, he puts the backpack on. One arm. And he comes over to me. He goes, okay, are you ready? I'm like, sure. And he has a balloon in his hand. And the next thing you know, he puts it on this piece, and you hear, and he looks at me, and I look at him, and he goes, do you want to fish out? And I'm like, oh, hell yeah. So we stood in this big, huge tent, fishing out off of nitrous, and it was so great. Now, I knew what was in that backpack. I was so excited. So we start pulling people in that we know. Like, we're not just going to go and light everybody up with nitrous. And it's dark outside, so you can't see anything. And you can't see anything into this tent. But you sure could hear that. And the next thing you know, you start hearing people, like this rumbling around the tent. And it's people in other camp areas. And they're like, oh man, are you going to share? And like, you know, they're saying all their stuff. I can hear the balloons. Because technically, we weren't supposed to have them in there. But, you know, technicalities, it's whatever. It's whatever. So, allegedly, we had this nitrous. And it was cool. Like, his setup was really cool. How he had it in his backpack. Because he actually had where the canister sit down in there. And how the hoses ran. Like, he didn't... I mean, the only thing he had to do was take it out and uncap it and put the thing on. And then everything else just zipped up in there. And it was so cool. It was so stealth. And the crazy thing is like, after we all hit our nitrous and had a good time and fished out and did our thing, the next thing I know, I turn around and like, dude is gone. I did not see him the rest of the night. I don't know where he went. Their tent stayed there, but him and the other dude never saw them the rest of the evening. Like, they were just gone. And then the next morning we all get up and the people that were next to us were pissed. One guy comes over and he's like, yeah, so we heard the balloons last night. You know, you could have like asked some of people if they wanted to partake. You know, we all liked the nitrous. And it was just like, okay, it wasn't ours. Actually it was somebody else's. And then he disappeared. And so, you know, I'm sorry about your luck, man. Oh, yes, that was super fun. You know, we're still gacking out. And I can remember... I remember at one point in time during that night of that intense acid trip, we had gone over to the drum circle. At this point in time, I had a crown It was like a, I think it was a glow stick, and it's one of the, like, the necklace ones, but it was small enough, like, it sat on my head, and they had taken string, and they had tied it on there, and had taken glow sticks, and tied it, like, the big ones that just kind of are, like, the actual glow stick ones, and they hung them on those strands, and they cascaded down my hair, and as I was walking and dancing around the drum circle, you could just, the wavy, like, there's a picture somewhere, I'll have to see if I can find it, but you can't really tell it's me. All you can see is all this swirling of lights, and that was from the glow sticks, but that was super fun. And then I lost the party I was with. I ended up in a field. So dumb. I ended up in a field trying to find my way back to our tent. And I'm over there, and I'm like, I'm stepping. The way I'm stepping on things. Woodstock 99, walking around some of the areas out there, there were so many plastic bottles. The beer companies had put, because they didn't want glass out there, because, well, you know, that's smart. They don't want anybody breaking them and cutting themselves open and whatnot. Because that had been really dangerous. I get it. But, like, these plastic beer bottles were everywhere. And water bottles everywhere. Everywhere where I turned at Woodstock 99. I just remember walking. And, you know, I'm fucked up. So I can't see where I'm walking. And so I'm walking on bottles. And it's lucky I didn't roll my ankle while we were there. Because that's what I just, it felt like I was walking in a sea of plastic bottles. And so, in my brain, while I'm an Omega Fest, this is all I'm thinking about, are these plastic bottles from this festival at Woodstock 99 that I walked through. So I'm over in this field, and I'm trying to find the camp area. And my roommate comes over, and he's like, Kimmy, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm trying to get to our tent. And he's like, why are you walking like that? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, what are you stepping on? I'm like, all these bottles are around here. And he's like, no, there are no bottles around you. What are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, you know, and I had the realization, oh, I'm not at Woodstock 99 anymore. I'm at a different place. that kind of got me back to where I needed to be. And back, we walk over to the tent, and this fire that these people had made, I don't even know, these three guys had come over, and they had built this fire the night before everything started, and people kept walking around the campsite and stoking this fire. This fire stayed lit all 3 days we were out there. It was crazy. Like, it was great. I loved it. People would come through, they'd sit down for a minute, some sit on one of our chairs or whatnot, stoke the fire, and then they would disappear. And the rainbow lady who I had the dream about and then met her, she would sit there, and she would do hair wraps on people, and she would talk to the people that would come through and sit there, and it was super fun. When I finally made it back over the tent, I'm standing by the ghetto tent, and I remember looking down the alleyway of where the tents were, and all of a sudden the whole thing shifted. And all I remember is I'm standing in this circle. It's a ceremonial circle of some sort. And all of a sudden, every person that's around me is speaking a different language. I couldn't understand anything that anybody was saying. It was very tribal feeling. I remember two of them grabbing me. Not like mean or hard, but they grabbed me and pulled me forward. And they like set me down on my knees. And I remember them putting their hands on my head. And they said some sort of stuff. And then the next thing I know, they handed me this container. And then they all just kind of just dissipated. And I remember getting up and standing up, and I had this container, and I felt like, I felt a lot of gratitude. I felt very, it felt very mystical. I felt very just, this container held so much. And I'm turning around, and my roommate's standing there, and he says something to me, and I can't to this day recall what he said, But the next thing I know is I grab that container and I chuck it at him as hard as I possibly can. Later, I found out it was a can of soda that somebody had given me when I was sitting there by that, near the campfire. I was turned back around, backwards, and I guess I was coughing or something, and somebody had handed me the can of soda. So that's what was given to me in that little ceremonial, whatever place I was going, was this can of soda. And this can of soda is what I chucked at my roommate really, really hard and during that trip. It was pretty wild. It was wild. Megafest was really fun, though. Just some, there's a lot of local music, and then, of course, like I said, Schwag was there. That was really fun. I met some people there that later on in my life I came across again and befriended them, and we were friends for quite some time, and they still live here. I don't see them as much as we used to, but that's one of those things. Those are really fun. After Omega Fest was done, it was done. Like, that year was the first year we went, and it was also the last year that it was ever put on and again. There had the last day, that Sunday, when we were, well, I guess it was Saturday night. Police had showed up and had gone through the festival. I'm not sure if they were looking for someone or what they were doing, but I do know that they busted a couple people. And that was kind of one of the reasonings, from what I heard, I can't validate it if it's true or not, is one of the reasons that they decided not to continue is because, like, the drugs and things like that. Because, I mean, you got to remember, that was how many years ago? Right after Woodstock 99. So, gosh, so many years ago. We won't talk about how many years in, how many, yeah. Just lots of. So I will tell you, January 21st was Happy Inception Day. What does that mean? That means that January 21st was the day that DMT World actually came into existence. So that is the day we celebrate that. And then the 1st of April is when we celebrate the birthday of DMT World, because that's when we actually went live. Also, I will say January 21st is also Happy KB's birthday. So I turned 48 this year. So it's been a wild ride, and I got so much more ahead of me, and I've got you guys to celebrate it with. So, that's really fun. So yeah, Omega Fest, it was cool. We need to hopefully on the future plate out there. I'm going to set that out in front of me. I'm still working on the idea of having a gathering, a festival of some sort. I don't know where, I don't know when. I do, you know, I'm always looking for somebody who has some property or some land that wouldn't mind letting us have put something on or have a shring ding. So I'm still looking. It's still on the plate. It's out there. It's something we're going to work towards. So you guys all think about it, put your energy towards that, and maybe we can actually collectively get there as a group. So that's something that is awesome. I will let you know, currently I'm working on a project with a friend. We're working on, basically at this point in time, a course of study that is going to help with basically connecting energy to help manifest and create change, a positive change in a person's life, to help them achieve goals that they are going for, to betterment their lives. So that's something we're working on. We've got a bunch of other things that components that go with it. It's pretty cool. So it's been a nice project to be a part of. I will have him on with me for a podcast when we get closer to it, so that you guys get to hear a little bit more about that. That will be fun as well. So that's something that's coming up in our future as well. So I was looking, and for my last part of this, I would like to read this poem that I came across. The poem is called The Cosmic Journey, and it is by an anonymous writer. So here we go. In the realms of unseen, where colors merge, a journey starts, a cosmic surge. The first inhale, a fleeting breath, unveils a world untouched by death. DMT, a portal key, unlocks the mind, sets spirits free. Within this realm of a vivid hues, dimensions shift, old views diffuse. Ethereal dance of light and sound, a kaleidoscope, a sacred ground. The self dissolves, boundaries blur, surrendering to its cosmic allure. Time unravels, a fleeting stream, a vision swirls of lucid dream. Entities whisper, patterns weave, a mystic language hard to perceive. The ego fades, a transient veil, revealing truths that words curtail, existence grasped in fleeting glance, a cosmic puzzle, a cosmic dance. Return to self with widened eyes, a glimpse of realms beyond the skies. DMT's embrace, profound and vast, an odyssey brief yet unsurpassed. In whispers soft, the echoes fade, leaving imprints that never degrade. The first encounter, a sacred rhyme, inscribed within the sands of time. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope I did a fair job, since I haven't been doing solo ones for a while. I really, really did enjoy it. I enjoyed telling you the story about the Omega Fest. Like I said, it wasn't Woodstock 99, but it was still pretty wild. So, I will let you know, we are still doing a sticker campaign, so get a hold of me. Let me know you want me to send you some stickers so you can take a picture and send it back to me so I can put it on my project. I need some more people that I haven't sent them to. So you can get a hold of me in Discord. My name is Happy KB. My email is kb@dmtworld.net. Or you can get on the site and you can send me a message. Just let me know. I'd be happy to send you something out. So, with that being said, keep ascending, friends.